First time we did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress. Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
Another episode of Fishing Radio. My name is Alex, and tonight we have Dee, Heather,
hey.
And Jeannie. We're going to continue talking about some beginner fishing tips. We kind of left off last time at fishing spots that are good around the Port Charlotte area. Do you ladies have any suggestions for a newbie fisherman that can go out and maybe find some nice people on a pier to help them if they get into a sticky situation?
Well, when I first started, I started on the boat. Okay. But there were times, Steve, he couldn't take me out on the boat. You know, he was working. It was a new relationship. You know, we still had our own lives. But I found myself wanting to fish more and more and more, even without him. So, without the boat, I'd go to Lashley.
Okay.
That pier. Gilcrest was probably actually the most successful one that I went to. And then Bayshore as well.
Awesome.
Okay. Yep.
Gilcrest is on the same side as Lashley, on the other side of the 41 Bridge. And
yes.
And Bayshore is on the Charlotte Harbor side.
Mm-hmm.
Not far from where they're building the, or attempting to build the new Allegiant.
The Sunseeker Resort.
Yeah.
I personally started at Ponce de Leon Park in PGI, Punta Gorda Isles, at the end of West Marion. How about you ladies?
I haven't really done much shore fishing, and I don't know anything around here, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Back that way towards Pine Island, there's tons of spots. If you know, the Matlachet Bridge is the world's most fishingest bridge in the world.
Really?
It's actually in the Guinness Book of World Records.
What?
Yep.
Tell me more.
Yeah, it's the bridge
you piqued her interest.
Yeah, it's the bridge that connects Matlachet and Pine Island.
And people are just lined up on it fishing?
Oh, yeah, all day. It's the world's most fishingest bridge.
That's crazy.
In the world.
Even more so than the Skyway. Every time I drive over there, I see so many people over there on both sides of it fishing.
It's that's a big bridge. But yeah, it's full every night.
Is the bridge high off the water?
No.
It's a drawbridge.
It's a drawbridge.
Okay.
Yeah, but right at the foot of the bridge, they made like a little park, a fishing park.
Okay.
Where you can park, go in there and park. Like basically parking and bathrooms and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I've been bridge fishing a few times, and you always got to pee. You know, you need that bathroom. So they actually made some bathrooms. It's beautiful down there if you ever get that way.
What are some things you could expect to catch off the Matlachet Bridge?
Oh, they just caught a gag grouper off there the other day.
Keeper size?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a big one. It was keeper size, though.
Nice.
They catch all kinds of stuff. They've caught snook, redfish, snapper, big snappers, sheephead. What was the fish not the angelfish?
Spade
fish.
What is
big
the
spade fish
between a spade fish and an angelfish?
Robert,
phone a friend. We need to phone a friend.
I know they have yellow
fins.
That's about the only difference that I know.
Yeah,
they do look a lot like an angelfish.
The stripes on the
they're black.
Yeah, but
yellow.
They're real wide.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's only like two or three stripes across them like that. The angelfish.
They are thick
They're
thick in the harbor right now.
There's about two or three of them eating the algae off the bottom of the shrimp boat right there in Matlachet. I'm going to get them too.
They sure are pretty.
They are.
I recently took one home with the snapper that I got at Ponce and filleted it up and ate it and tried it.
A spade fish?
Yeah. The meat turned green pretty quickly after filleting it. It wasn't super hard to fillet, but it was weird that the meat turned green like it did.
Now, so I have heard that they are, when you open them up, they do have a tendency to look different, and a lot of people will think that they're bad. But that's just the way the spadefish are.
Oh, I didn't notice anything.
Did you eat it?
I did. Yeah, I did. I didn't enjoy it. But
you didn't?
No, because I had snappers. So comparing it to this, the snapper was this isn't quite as good.
Right.
I did take it to a friend back at the pier and gave him some snapper and then the spadefish, and he didn't mind it. He liked it.
I think that's one of.
It's hard to compare something to snapper. You know, it's such a tasty fish to eat.
So how did you catch your spadefish? So how did you catch your spadefish versus your snapper?
Same thing, little bits of shrimp.
Okay.
Yeah.
The spadefish. Little tiny small hook?
One-aught, two-aught.
Okay.
It wasn't super tiny.
And then just shrimp on it?
Yeah.
Okay. You use the circle hooks?
No, at that time, no, it was a J-hook. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the sliced shank J-hooks because they help keep the shrimp on better. They're pretty cool hooks.
Yeah, I like J-hooks better. But
yeah, it depends. If I'm feeling like just chilling.
Yeah.
And sitting back in my chair, I'll definitely use circle hooks.
Yeah.
And take a little nap and still get that.
Wake up and reel.
And when was this?
It was quite a while ago now. I had snapper for lunch today.
Were you invited?
I didn't get an invite. Did I miss the memo?
I missed it too.
Did you get the memo?
I didn't.
Crap. We didn't get the memo.
Now there's nothing left in my fridge, though. So.
Yeah.
See, where
gotta
we
go
rank.
Get some groceries. You gotta go fishing and get some groceries.
So back to like how when I started fishing at ponds, I've mentioned this before. I'd hang out there and like stare enamored at the fishermen, like wanting to do it but afraid to start. Man, those guys out there are super, super nice. They will teach you everything they know. They took me under their wing. Some of them, including. Logan and John are my good friends now. We fish together everywhere. But all those guys, you know, I think all the guys that you run into on the piers here in Southwest Florida are going to be super, super nice. I'd be careful if they invite you to, like, a camping site. further inshore. I'd say no, but other than that, they're super nice, and they will help you learn anything that you don't know. And
you're killing me.
What about camping up the river?
That sounds dangerous. Oh no, I didn't go. No, I was like, you want a what? No. I'm a smart girl.
No.
Gonna go into the woods with you, sir.
My mom used to say I was born at night, but it wasn't last night, you know.
I would also recommend Lashley, Gilcrest. The new pier under 41 is super nice, and I'm surprised that it isn't fished more already.
Where's that one at?
So say the
footbridge that they built under 41, right there at the Punta Gorda Bridge.
This side of the bridge?
Yeah, north over 41, like you're going to Frank's, right after the bridge, there's a parking lot on your right side.
Oh, yeah, the Peace River Bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, I gotcha.
The 41 bridge.
It's wide, it's nice, it's new, there are fish there, there's good lighting, there's a spot underneath the bridge to stay in the shade.
I noticed they did a lot of work to it. I watched them. I got to drive over that bridge every day, and they did a lot of work to that. Mm-hmm.
That's a good spot to fish, and like I said, I'm really surprised that it hasn't been like inundated with a bunch of local fishermen yet.
Seems like the water moves in and out of there frequently. I mean, a good movement.
Yeah, by boat, it's a popular spot to fish.
Is it?
Yeah, the actually
fishing under the bridge.
One of the times that I was there, a boat came up and was kind of angrily. Fishing on top of where we were fishing and cast netting, saying, you know, we've been fishing here for forever. This is our spot.
Yeah, we had that conversation today at Frank's. A lot of people think they own places out there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. That kind of brings us on to etiquette of fishing. One thing, etiquette makes me think of this one little kid who drives me nuts. But to preface that conversation, you are not allowed to cast net within the city limits of Punta Gorda. You cannot cast net from in any of the canals. You cannot cast net from Ponce de Leon Park. You need to, I believe, walk out 50 meters from the shoreline, which is doable since the sand flats go far out.
That's the law?
Yeah, in the city limits of Punta Gorda.
And listen, the city limits of Punta Gorda are a little confusing as well, because you can have county right in the middle of the city limits. So you do have to be careful and make sure that, you know, if you're going to yell at somebody for being inside the city limits, which you think you are, make sure you're really not in county maintained property, because it's, you know, watch the street signs, whether they're blue or green, because it is very confusing. In Punta Gorda, you can be right in the middle of downtown and be in county. In the county, not the city, so you do have to be careful.
The street signs themselves with the names of the streets.
Yeah, the different colors.
They're either blue or green. Blue is city, green is county.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, I live uptown. Every street around me is city. I'm dead smack in the middle, and I'm county. So you just
county right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Yep. That sounds like some Cape Coral weirdness.
Yeah, I mean.
So this little kid, who claims he's sponsored by all these different companies, comes up and throws his cast net on top of where we're all fishing at the Ponce Pier. We'll throw it on top of your lines.
He's in a boat?
No. He just comes up there with some other kid that he's got with him for the week or whatever, and we'll take a cast net and throw for some Minhara, some sand bream, and get them, and then go down where the signs say, do not fish here, illegal, fine if you fish here, and then throw for those big snook that hang out under the
cast net?
The cast net from the pier on top of our lines.
And the sand bream for the snook.
That are under the pier. So there is certain etiquette. I think there's probably no one in the world other than that blank of a little kid.
Jeannie, you spent a long
time. Throw anything on top of somebody else's line.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time on the water, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What are some things you come across talking about boat etiquette?
I roll my eyes.
How long is this show?
Oh my goodness, we ain't got enough time. I roll my eyes sometimes. It's terrible.
It's
you
horrible.
Really have to turn your patience on, and it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're from shore. It, quite frankly, anytime you're dealing with
Absolutely.
People, I hate to say that, but you're going to have one in every crowd. You
Absolutely.
Know? So
it's
whether you
it's kind of like the Wild Wild West out there sometimes, you know.
I mean,
people think they own property out there because they fish here for 50 years.
It's true.
I mean, they take it to the.
You know, even worse than that, and you know, I certainly don't want to start this conversation, but you know, we do a lot of tournaments here in Charlotte Harbor because our fishing is so great. We do a lot of tournaments, and I love the tournaments, but some of the tournament players can be some of those people that, you know, there's just, like I said, there's one in every crowd, but you got to turn your patience on no matter where you go, because that little kid, we have them from that little kid to bigger kids to old timers that, you know, they just.
I guess the best thing I could say is no matter what area you're in, you have to know. It'd be like you'd have to know the traffic signs. You have to obey the red lights, you know.
Right.
Same thing on a boat, you know. You have to know. There's different places and parts in Matt Lachey that are idle speed zone only to the channel. And then 25 miles an hour speed limit in the channel. But that's only like that south of the Matt Lachey Bridge. Once you get north of the Matt Lachey Bridge, it's wide open. So there's certain areas that they protect, and I'm assuming it's for the manatees and the wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
So the big area, the
mangrove, the shorelines.
Yeah.
And
so
I really try
you have
to
really know where, you know, it changes like that, and you don't even know.
There are certain places that I really do try to give people the benefit of the doubt and think, all right, maybe they just don't know. But on something like that, where you're cast netting right on top of somebody's line, you're
just
being an a-hole as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
and I've seen people, if you're blowing down the wall, if you're blowing that shoreline, burning that shoreline, you're just being an a-hole. If you cut right across the nose of my boat on plane, you're just being an a-hole.
Yeah.
If you happen to run through an idle zone and didn't see the sign, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt on that one. You know, I really just try hard to think, well,
that doesn't
maybe
mean
he didn't know that.
After you stop and go fish and turn around and do it again.
Right. But
now
when
you're
you
an
wake
a-hole.
My boat, you're just an a-hole.
There's just certain things, like there's some people fishing the channel, say, which they're rightfully can do so. It's a little bit dangerous when the channel gets down to like bottleneck size, you know, but they still think they have all the right to fish there, which they do, and it's completely legal, but it's just not safe when it's you know, wide open through that channel. You know, there's no idle speed or nothing. There's one by the blind curve in Pineland. It's bad. And people get killed there because
people sit in channels.
Just they're always in a hurry and they're really just not paying attention. I guess that's the best way I can describe it.
But that's like stopping on the middle of 75.
Yeah, I mean,
you just don't do
it. Yeah. I mean, you see somebody fishing in the channel, should he be there? Probably not, because it's an active channel that's wide open, you know. It's not smart for you to do that, but is it smart for you to wake him out and blow by him and put them in danger? No, it's probably not a smart idea.
Stop and ask them if they're okay.
Yeah.
And are you broken down?
No, they're blatantly fishing off the bow of the boat.
As far as I'm concerned, if you're fishing in the channel, you get what's coming to you. I got nothing for you. If I'm in a channel, it's probably because it's too, you know, it's too skinny outside the channel for me to run. I'm not going to get in a wreck because you want to sit in the channel. I ain't doing it.
Right.
I ain't putting somebody else in danger because you want to sit in the channel. Right. You
know? I mean, this is what we do. We slow down and educate them. Give them some education, you know, a couple words. It's I guess etiquette on the water is just plain and simple common sense, man. I mean,
it really is. And you get people, you know, there's a place down by Burns Store. There's that house that comes out on that peninsula, and that bar comes in. It gets really skinny, and you got about a boat width right there that you can run, because you got the peninsula on one side and then the bar comes the in bar on the other side, and people want to sit right there and fish. Well, again, I'm sorry, but when I blow by you and, you know,
you're doing everything you're supposed to do.
I'm 5 yards off the bow of your boat. I've got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be sitting right there. Right. Did they know? I don't know, but I can't stop.
If I
sit down right there, I'm, you know,
you're going to get mowed over by the people running behind you.
Hopefully by the fact that 20 boats just blew by you, you're figuring out that maybe that's not the best
good
place
fishing
to sit
spot
right there. But, I mean, so they might be looking at me going, oh, my God, I can't believe that she just did that.
Why would she do that?
Right, exactly, because they don't know. Yeah. I really try to give people the benefit of the doubt that they don't know, and I'm just going to be patient about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Jeannie, Dee, and Heather, do either of you know what the term Googan
is?
Never heard of it.
You know, it's
where did it come from? Like, what does it mean?
It means somebody that has no idea what they're doing, not high on the water. Someone new, green, that blatantly is doing
weekend
something he's supposed
warriors
to do. Call it Googan.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's just a word that I guess they came up instead of saying bad words, they just say. That's basically what it is. Somebody that doesn't know what they're doing.
I'm not really sure where that word originated.
I think
from,
it came
though
from the Northeast somewhere.
Okay. Oh, really?
The fishery in the Northeast. I could be wrong. That's just my guess.
We should get a fifth co-host, Alexa, that sits over here. That we can ask Alexa,
right? That's
Alexa
hilarious.
Alexa will be our Robert.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Maybe we can get Robert's voice on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that reminds me of a time that I was back fishing Poacher's Cut in, like, a super tiny little area, and two boats came and, like, posted up right next to us.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? And we were each sorry. But you know what I mean. We were all fishing like max 12-foot hole. Three boats in a tiny, tiny little.
Yeah. Sounds like tarpon fishing in the past.
We were all going for,
holy crap,
for mangrove.
Yeah.
They weren't that tasty. Somewhere else your spot is taken.
Yeah, see, that's not okay. I mean, I think the rule is like 50 yards.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know, like, I learned when I went tuna fishing up there that out offshore, it's quarter mile. Commercially, that's commercial boats, but they're quarter mile apart is the rule, is the law to fish.
And where they're catching snapper and, you know, the whole east wall, the whole skating rink, the entire skating rink is covered in snapper. There is no reason to be that close to anybody.
Yeah.
There's just not. It's unsafe. It's just, it's, you know, it's a lot of times it's, and you get those too. You get them people that follow you around all day. You don't want to be on top of you just to find your holes. And it could be something like that, but our rule around here, at least the way I was always brought up and I was taught, is 50 yards.
Yeah.
You stay 50 yards off of a boat.
Yeah, I mean, like Jeannie said, 50 yards. I mean, I'm not good at judging 50 yards, but I have common sense, you know, and I mean, you're not going to run right up on somebody. I mean, that's just, you're being
dick move. Even out in the middle of the Gulf, you're at the Boxcars or Pegasus or Mohawk, and you've got boats like 25 feet from
Well, I mean, that's a little different, isn't it? Reef fishing,
I mean,
you're on
a reef, yeah.
Because so you're all trying to fish the reef.
Yeah, and you're pretty much anchored there.
Yeah, and you're not, like, fighting the fish and cutting loose on the anchor or nothing. I mean, you're pretty much bottom fishing at that point.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a little bit different because you're not running in and out of each other. You're just all over the reef.
Yeah, got your spot lock on.
That would be a little
right
bit different,
there.
I think.
Yeah, okay. And I don't really know what, I guess, etiquette is on a reef. I do hear the offshore fishermen saying that somebody got too close to them or something. But, I mean, if your reef is only, what, 50 yards across, then really got much of a
I mean, I guess at that point, I wouldn't be right next to him, you know.
No.
I'd be maybe in the middle of the bar, you know, or somewhere not next to him and, you know, right up on somebody.
And with the offshore reefs, there's a good chance that somewhere near that reef, you're going to have another structure on the bottom that you can find.
Yeah.
And fish on your own.
Well, I mean, you don't have to be on top of the reef to catch fish on the reef, neither.
And there's so much out there, and it really just comes down to, and I think that's what makes people so upset, it just comes down to spending time on the water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for those of us that do spend time on the water, trying to find our own places and find our own holes. And, you know, I work full time and I'm still on the water after work, you know, and I spend a couple hours every night on the water after work trying to look and hunt and find. And, when you spend that much time on the water to have somebody follow you around all day and find all your spots or, you know, just do those moves, it is aggravating. It's extremely aggravating. Put your time in, you know, and that's part of the fun of fishing anyhow, is to, you know, put
that's true. I mean, it's fishing, hunting, you know, you're not necessarily catching, but you're hunting slash fishing, you know, that's part of it, you know.
That's supposed to be the fun part of it.
Yeah, like in the shrimping business, we call it running late shrimping. And anybody who does that basically is a Googan. You know, you go out there, you see a shrimp boat, and you sit down right next to him and shrimp next to him. You know, that's an asshole move. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's a Googan. That's somebody that has no idea what they're doing. They just look for running lights, and they go right next to it. And that happens a lot in recreational fishing, too.
But a lot of those Googan moves are, just like you said, common sense. And common sense seems to be so hard to find anymore.
Just be safe,
but,
you know?
Right,
make you
exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
Exactly.
That leads me back to the whole boater safeties class, man. I'm really stoked on that. I really think that people should have to take a boater safeties class.
At least here, there are so many guides out there. Mm-hmm. You know, hire a guide a couple times. It's not terrible money. Hire you a guide and
get your buddy. Get your buddy and a couple, two or three women or something.
Right.
And the guides will go out on your own boat so you can learn what your boat can do.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what your boat can do. You know etiquette. They can teach you etiquette.
Yeah.
They can teach you navigation. They can teach you the holes and how to tie knots and what to do and what not to do. And that way, when you go out on the boat yourself the next time, you know, you're not getting so many hand gestures. Or, you know,
they're waving with all five fingers.
exactly, because that is a thing.
Oh, look, he's waving. Oh, he's not waving to us.
We do it.
Sometimes you can't help it. I mean, I've come around points of islands on plane, not doing anything wrong, and come around that corner, and there's someone sitting there, which nobody's doing anything wrong, but. It's hard to, once you come around a blind corner, or any corner at that matter, and someone's just sitting there, you know, you just got to pull it back, you know, I didn't see you there, sorry, bud, you know.
Right, you don't want to wake them out,
you know.
But you can't come off plane, and that's the thing, too, with our water, is it's just so skinny here that we can't just, if we see you, we can't just come off plane and sit down, you know. By that time, we have to go, and I'm sorry that you were sitting there. Sometimes we might be
sometimes
I'm not going to lie.
Sometimes you can't avoid it.
Sometimes
be
you
safe.
Can't. But,
and be
you know,
safe at the same time.
Exactly. There's just not a lot of water here. So
I would say etiquette, just use common sense.
Common sense.
I mean, you're not going to cross, you know, three lanes of traffic going the opposite direction.
Oh, I've seen.
You know what I mean? I mean, well, crazy people might, but you mean you just don't do that on the road? Why do it on the water?
Huh? Right.
Respect nature. Respect your fellow fishermen.
Yeah.
And if you're fishing in the Boca Grande Pass, everything's out the window.
Yeah. Only in certain months. April, May. Yeah. Certain months of the year only.
What fish are we currently allowed to keep? Do you guys know?
Snapper. Snapper's huge right now.
Cobia.
Cobia.
There's some little sheep's head if you can find them in slot. Sheep's head. Redfish.
The only thing you can't catch is
redfish.
No. The only thing you can't catch is redfish, snook, and trout.
That's the only thing that's closed, yeah. Everything else is open, but that's pretty much
everything but that, even though it's like 90% of our fish.
Yeah, snapper. So you can keep snapper. Yeah. A ladyfish or a mullet.
Sand bream.
Sand bream.
Yeah.
Spadefish, angelfish.
Yeah, I mean,
have you ever targeted a spadefish?
Because I sure didn't.
I didn't know anything about a spadefish until about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never even heard of them.
I didn't even see one until Frank mentioned it the other day at that seminar. And I said, man, I don't think I've ever seen one of those. And I am not kidding you. I went back the next day and there was two of them feeding on the bottom of the shrimp boat. I was like, holy, that guy knows what he's talking about.
There were a bunch of them at the Ponce Inlet the morning that I was there, and it started storming, and I ran around and had to run back. Mm-hmm. And anyhow, there was a pile of them, and I thought that they were rays because they kept coming up out of the water, but they look like
they
wings.
They
kind of
float.
They don't
really, like, swim like a sheep head. They're really skinny, and like a tile fish, I guess I'm trying to say. They kind of just real lazy, and they just kind of go up to the surface and kind of poke out, you know what I mean?
They're so skinny up there, it looks like a wing.
Yeah, it'd be like kind of throwing like a piece of paper in the wind, you know what I mean? Like, literally, he didn't look like he could get going if he had to.
Yeah, right. So they were all there. I couldn't figure out what they were. I thought they were rays, and I was waiting on the storm, and so I was watching them, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, that looks like an angelfish. I had no idea what it was, and then somebody come up and said, I think that might be a spadefish, and that was the first time I had. And then, so then, not too long after that, we were at that seminar where Frank was talking about spadefish. But that was the first time I had ever seen one, heard of one.
Yeah, me too, man.
I didn't know anything about it. I had no idea.
We've catched some stuff in those nets that you wouldn't believe, but I've never seen a spadefish until you've seen it. Literally the next day, I couldn't believe it.
So one day when I was at Ponce, and I kind of mentioned this during the seminar, was it was Mother's Day, and a mom was out there with all her kids, and one of them hooked into a spadefish, and they left it on the line, and the other spadefish just started circling the spadefish that was already hooked up. So her other kids were dropping shrimp on both sides of this hooked up spadefish, and were just pulling spadefish one after another. What was cool was an osprey came down and just hovered right in front of us all at the pier over that spadefish that we had hooked up. But it was really neat if you want to catch a bunch of spadefish, leave one hooked up like they do for mahi to keep that school around.
It's amazing what nature does out there.
That's much all the fish do that. Yeah. Anytime you hook one, there's a buddy around. They're coming up with it.
Yeah, I know snapper, like mangrove snapper
snook
do that.
Snook do the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've pulled snook up and had their buddy tear out at the boat.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They usually travel in couples, I think, most of the time.
I remember Robert, or maybe it was Josh, did a explanation on it one day on waterline. I don't remember the exact specifics why, but there is something about a fish in distress that makes their buddies.
Well, yeah, like it's a fish in distress.
Yeah,
you know, it attracts all kinds of stuff.
Right.
You know, like that when I was up north tuna fishing, we did the kite fishing, and that's what it's all about—just to simulate a bait ball, basically, and slapping the top of the water. That attracts fish like crazy.
I mean, the crappy part about that is you just caught that, you know, 20-inch snook that's on the end of your line, and then that 38-inch snook is next to him, and he's tears out at you. Well, you got the baby fish that you're pulling in.
Sucker. Yeah, that always happens to me.
Quick tips to avoid catching catfish.
Dynamite. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. I do not like catfish. Right now, I've tried to catch that snook at the dock, and I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. I promise you. I have been, like,
all about it. Have you been fishing lately?
No. No, I haven't. I stepped up to the fishing pole.
Did you? You're getting fancy now.
Yeah, man. I'm stepping out. I'm getting this snook. I'm telling you. I had to pull out the big guns for it. But there's like hundreds of catfish. Sail cat. Big catfish. I showed you the picture of it, didn't I?
Yeah, you mentioned to me the other day about the snook actually hiding underneath the catfish.
He's at the bottom lurking. He's just waiting. And he's so big that literally hundreds of catfish to the point where they're like boiling out of the water. I swear I could walk over top of them.
Is that the photo that you posted on Fishy Radio the other day? That was a really cool photo.
That's all catfish.
By the way, we need to talk about Fishy Radio on Facebook too. Yeah. For everybody. Absolutely. But I'm sorry, go ahead with your story.
So anyway, I'm trying to get
but
the snook.
But that was a cool photo.
That is, yeah, that was amazing. I was trying to get the snook, and I'm like, I'm going to get them, right? But these catfish, you're like, what am I going to do with these catfish, you know?
Yeah, how do you get past them to get
I've learned. I've got a trick. I'm tricking them. I grab a handful of dead shrimp and throw it, like, away from where the snook is, and they all take off like you would think it was...
gone.
Blue light special. Gone. And then that snook, he's still sitting under that dock. So I throw him over there, get all the catfish over there, and then I drop my pole right there. And I've hooked him, and I'm not exaggerating, 10, 12 times already. And he's got me every time. I'm going to get him.
They don't get that big by being stupid. That's for certain.
I'm going to get him. He snapped my line 3 times. I had come in and have Frank put a new line on. Frank, please hook me up. I don't care if it's a 150-pound test. My reel, my reel's like for 8 pound. I keep a little kayak rod in the bait truck. And you never know when you're going to need it, you know. You might see ponds and stuff. You might know when you can stop catching a fish. Plus, it fits in the truck, you know. My 6-foot rod won't fit in the truck without bending it up in a U, so I don't do that. But anyway, I had this pole, man. It's kayak rod, and I think it's only like 4 foot. it's real small. And I got the reel I got, and it's only 8 pound. It goes up to 8 pound. But I brought it in and said, Frank, you got
a Zebco?
No. It's a little bit better than the Zebco. I said, Frank, you got to help me out, bud. Because he had snapped me off 3 or 4 times that morning. And I said, I'm going to get him this afternoon. But I need your help. I need some line on. I pulled out that little spool. He looked at me like I was, what are you doing? You're trying to catch a 38-inch snook on this, you know? And it's like a step above a kiddie rod, you know? Sorry, Frank's the only thing that fits in the truck, you know? But he put 20 pound on there, and I'll be, that rod is going to snap before that line does. And I guarantee you that.
That is hilarious. You.
When I get him, watch. Stay tuned, Fishy Radio. I'm going to get him.
You crack me up. So how do you avoid, I don't move. It's the only thing I can think of. How do you avoid catching catfish?
What about using a bobber?
No, catfish usually are at the top.
They're bottom feeders, but they had them hit top water.
Yeah, I mean, the cat.
Weird little creatures.
Yeah.
Stay out of the center of canals when fishing.
Near the pilings and stuff,
I've noticed, too, catfish kind of have, like, distinctive nibble. If you can learn that, you can learn when to pull it away before they actually get the
That's
bait.
True.
It seems like feeding times, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They come and then they go, and then they come and they go, and they come and go. They don't usually just latch on, typically, I've seen. But they'll come and they'll try to eat it, and then they'll go away, and then they'll come back, and you think you got something, and you got a catfish, and then when you get them, they shake their head, they're head shakers, but so are redfish.
Yeah.
So you can think you have a catfish when you really have a redfish. Right.
But I mean, like a redfish pulls a little harder and slower, though, I would say. Don't you think?
Well, I caught me a little rat red Sunday morning, and I was pretty certain I had me a catfish. He was shaking his head, but he was a little rat, you know? So was dang sure green, but them catfish can be, they can be.
Yeah, they fight, you know. You really think you got something.
But they do. They come and go, I've noticed a lot. Unless it's top water, then they're on it. But sometimes if you have something that's chasing it, going after it, and then goes away and goes after it and goes away. Probably don't want it.
Yeah, and I've noticed too, like dealing with them down at the dock, they're pretty spooky. I was using a yo-yo, a hand reel one time. That's all I had. I didn't even have a broomstick. I had to use a yo-yo.
I'm
telling you, man. I can't help it. So I got the biggest shrimp I could find, and I threw it out there, and just pulled it across the top. and the catfish would come up to it and kind of like look at it like, what? And then as long as you just kind of jerked it, oh, they would spook away from it. They would take off like, no, that's not normal. You know what I mean? Or see the hook maybe, yeah.
Huh.
They're pretty spooky like that, I think. Or maybe the ones I'm dealing with are just super smart.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe the snook is paying the catfish.
It is decoy. Yeah.
Is there any way to guarantee, like, catching a sail cat and not catfish? Is there, like, a certain way to fish for sail cats?
Usually sail cats are in the deep water. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Normally.
Because they're...
I mean, sail cats. That's why they call them sail cats.
Yeah. They're going to be out, like, in the... I beat bushes, so yeah. I'm not in deep water.
Like the hardhead, they call hardhead catfish, mm-hmm. is normally the ones you'll see. But the sail cat has, like, off the top fin, has a real long...
Mm-hmm. A little Fu Manchu beard.
Yeah, Fu Manchu beard, yep. They're a lot different, but I wouldn't know how... I catch them all the time. Not because I want to, but... That snook is underneath there.
When I catch catfish, it's time to go.
It should be law that you, when you catch a hardhead, it's catch and kill.
Yeah, no kidding. Stab and repeat.
They make fantastic bait, by the way. I encourage you, every time you catch a catfish, cut off its head.
Yeah.
And throw it back.
Yeah.
Speaking of catfish heads, lip grips.
Lip grips. Well... I don't use lip grips, so Jeannie's going to tell you about that.
I do. I use a set of Bokas. Not the weighted ones, not the $500 ones, but I use the, you know, the $20, $30 ones. I love them. I love them primarily, like we were talking about a minute ago, I love them when I bring in something that's really super green.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ready to come in yet, but I'm ready for it too.
Does it lock down on the lip to where, like, any thrashing, it still holds on?
Yeah.
Yeah, it snaps on.
And that's the beauty of it. So when it, you can put it on there, it locks in, that thing can flip all it wants to, and you can still get your hook out without stabbing yourself.
Yeah, I'll use that for catfish now all day. Because they go crazy up on the dock, and I ain't getting stabbed. I've seen people almost die getting stabbed by a catfish. Literally.
Heather's husband was in the hospital for 3 days.
You get
days.
Catfish. You can get fish poison bad mm-hmm. and die. Bleach. I've seen people do it.
Always tote bleach on your boat.
Yeah.
Well, I say that, but I also heard, and I don't know if there's any truth to it or not. I haven't actually, but I was told by a bona fide, born and raised fishing guide, always keep bleach on your boat, but bleach is illegal to have on a boat.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like, know.
I have never heard that.
Alexa?
we keep a bottle of like alcohol, rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
Like if you get hit by a scorpion fish or a catfish. Yeah. If you get hit by a catfish, depending on how bad it is, it's time to go to the dock, you know, because it gets that serious. I've seen people lose fingers. And
but that bleach, from what I was told, like if you get stuck in your hand, you take that bottle of bleach and you just hold it upside down right on it, and mm-hmm. you just hold it. And it's going to go from, you know, cold to hot,
mm-hmm.
and then it's going to, it goes through another, I can't remember anyhow, it goes through another phase, and then once it's back to, you know, normal, you can take that bottle of bleach off, wrap your hand up, and you need to go to the dock, you know, take it back mm-hmm. to the ramp. But apparently that bleach is, I've always been told, keep bleach on your boat, but never let the man see you.
Yeah.
But I don't know why bleach would be, you know, frowned upon on a boat, but...
People bleach their boats all the time, right?
I have no how.
Not on the water, I guess.
But yeah, I don't know. I've always been told keep bleach on the boat in case you ever get stuck. Yeah. But I have one of them catfish dehookers that I put down in its mouth and flip it over.
Oh, yeah.
Get rid of it so I never...
I gotta get me one of those.
I mean, that's if I were to ever catch a catfish.
Like, we wear Pine Island Reeboks. Everyone knows what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're just rubber boots. So I actually did one time put my foot on the top of the catfish and tried to get the hook out. Bad mistake. Bad mistake. Because as soon as I started going at him, he reared up. He stuck that thing straight up and my foot right on it. It's not pleasant.
So you're right. Mm-hmm. That is another great reason to have bokas.
Yeah,
on
so that's
your
a
boat.
Better. You can keep I will say that because away. They're dangerous. I
it
mean,
like
a
really good thing for beginners to have too, because you never know what's in the mouth of a fish you catch.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was like a bluefish or something. I stuck my hand in. I was like, learned a good lesson.
Yeah.
Definitely for beginners. And yeah. I think I bought mine here at Frank's, and I think they were like $18. So, I mean, there's really no reason
$18.95.
There you go.
There's really no reason not to tote them. You know?
There's some cool ones where you don't even have to push a button to get the lips of the lip grabber to open. You just push it on it, and it grabs it.
Yep. Those are the ones that I bought, too, and they do the same thing. You just clamp them on there.
Is that one metal one that I saw?
It's the one that looks like the actual boga grip with the weight on it.
They look like a boga. Metal.
Yeah, does it?
Looks identical to a boga. Mm-hmm. But yes, there's many different reasons to have a set of boga grips. And in my opinion, you know, again, just getting a fish that's green and not getting,
If you want to get real crazy, too, like on this is, I learned after getting my foot almost, spending the night in the emergency room. I learned how to actually grab a catfish. Like on the boat now, we get them in the
with
nets.
A knife?
No, you grab. I guess that's the only way to do it. No, if you grab them, it has the two side fins. Those also have barbs in them. But if you grab them up the side, up underneath the barbs, they can't get you.
And like that's on how the bottom or on the top?
Not on
the because he's flat on the bottom.
On the bottom. On the I do it from the top.
Yeah, on the top. Slide up because and have that top fin go up over your hand.
Okay. So his antennas can't come around and get you?
Usually I take my hand on to the head and slide it down the back to where the spine goes down.
Oh.
And then lift it up and then grab it up underneath the two fins. And you can hold it like that. He can't get you.
Okay.
And then you can grab him.
But, I mean, even though that sounds very simple, it still freaks me out.
Right,
I mean, I can't, you know, I usually get the dustpan and throw them overboard. I can't do it. I mean, I can do it, but it's, after getting stuck that one time, it scares the crap out of me.
Some things are wicked.
Yeah.
I have been stuck, and I use rubbing alcohol immediately, mm-hmm. and I was fine the next day. Another thing is if you're fishing freshwater, the catfish are good eating, but also I believe that you can use the catfish slime if you're out on a boat and away from...
I have heard that.
I've heard that, too.
Salt water, no, because there's a lot of...
Bacteria.
But fresh water, it would be okay. But, yeah.
I hate them. I ain't rubbing that nastiness on me. I'm trying to usually get it off.
So you use the catfish slime to rub on...
Yeah.
Your wound?
Yeah.
And that works, huh?
Fresh water only.
They say...
We have fresh water cat?
I don't think so. Yeah. Do we?
We do.
Yeah. Like in ponds and stuff?
The web, or we have...
I don't know. I fish my pond at my house many times for catfish, and I haven't caught one yet.
Yeah.
I've been there 7 years.
Yeah,
right. Do we have them down here?
People come into Frank's looking for bait to go fish them.
Really?
Yeah.
They must be in ponds or something.
I don't know.
Freshwater up the canals, I don't know.
Oh, well, like in Cape Coral, it's nothing but freshwater, and that's usually where we go bass fishing in the canals in Cape Coral, and North Cape Coral. I've never seen a catfish in there ever in my life. But I'm not saying there's not none, but...
So that's how you fish and avoid catfish, is go...
Go far, far away from them. Go do some bass fishing and get away from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's my fave, by the way.
Bass fishing?
Non-stop
action. I was
just
learning it.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. I love it. Being down in the Everglades, I like to go down to the Everglades. If you ever go that way, you have them sightseeing stops.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of a lot of them have boat ramps.
Yeah. Yeah, so like going over 41, 951. 951. Alligator Alley.
Yeah.
There we are.
Tamiami.
Whew.
Oh, Alligator Alley.
Took me a minute to join the rest of the class. Anyhow, Alligator Alley has all them little pit stops.
Yeah.
But I've wanted to do that, and I want to put my boat in there because peacock bass.
Awesome.
I am dying
awesome.
To catch a peacock bass. Now, I did that along 41.
Yeah.
Down to Chokoloskee, and I fished all 41.
Awesome.
But, you know, it's not very long before you get to the flashing light there at Chokoloskee. Yeah. Not a single peacock bass. I caught a couple bass, but...
I don't know if you've ever heard of it's a YouTuber. His name's Monster Mike, and they're in Miami. And him and his buddy actually, they've come up with weird ways to catch peacock bass down in the ditches, actually. Just like on the side of the road in the ditch. And you would not believe these sizes of peacock bass that they get out of a sewer ditch. You would
really?
You would Caroline lose County, your mind. You would lose your mind.
I'd pay money to have something. I'm just dying to catch me a peacock
bass. He caught a peacock bass on a, he rigged up a retrievable dog leash.
Yeah. And
he caught one on that. You know, they just do weird things like that, you know. But they're a big conservationist. So, I mean, they do keep that in mind. You know, they don't really, but couldn't imagine these fish that these guys bring up in a ditch on the side of the road. You're like, what?
And so I've heard that their bait of choice is golden shiners.
Golden
shiners? Do you know what a golden shiner is?
Mm-mm. They were using plastic frogs.
Oh, well, that's good to know. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, plastic frog.
Golden shiners are going to be more the wild caught shiners.
Yeah?
Okay.
Rather than the farm raised.
Like the cast net them or something?
I don't know.
Well, when we went up to the Stick Marsh, there was only one other boat on the lake that morning, and he was commercial fishing for the shiners.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you guys get the shiners that you used when you went up there fishing? So I know you had huge shiners that you were throwing.
Stick Marsh Bait and Tackle, I believe, is what it was called.
Good. Was that up north?
Just kind of up Orlando-ish area, more towards the other coast.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Where it gets a little desolate in the area?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, like if you go through the Okeechobee and then cut across to the east coast, that's a little desolate over on that side of the...
I've heard the, I think we talked about this before too, but the Miami airport, the pond in front of the Miami International Airport, I've heard that is loaded with peacock bass. Yes. So
is that legit that you can go there and fish
them? I have no idea, but I'd be more than happy to get thrown. Try it. If I could catch me a peacock bass.
Let's do it.
You got bail money.
Yeah, I got bail money. I got bail money. Hey, y'all, I'm going to tell you where my bail money's at in case y'all need to come get us. Leave your phones on. Do not leave us stranded. We'll be calling you for sure.
Hey, it turns out my girl likes to fish.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I wonder if there's some direct flights out of PGI to Miami.
To Orlando.
With our rods on our backs.
Yeah. No, what you do is you take that fast cat down there to the Keys.
Oh, yeah.
And then you come back.
The other coast?
Yeah, why not?
Do they? Do they do that? Does it go up the other coast?
No, it just goes down the Keys, to the Keys.
I got a good question. When you're fishing the Keys, are you fishing the Gulf?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You are fishing the Gulf there?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you could fish both sides, actually, the Atlantic and the Gulf.
Which side?
Depending on which side you're on.
Yeah.
Inner side of the Keys?
There's tons of places where you can cut right across the Keys. You're in the Atlantic, you go under a bridge, you're in the Gulf.
Yep.
Literally.
So is the Gulf on the inner side, the northern side of the Keys,
yeah,
and the Atlantic on the southern?
The Gulf is on the west side.
Well, it's right. You're talking east and west.
East and west.
Okay.
Just like the east coast, west coast, you know.
Okay.
Florida. Same thing.
But I mean, when you're 50 yards from one to the other, you're same water, same
ground. It's literally the same. The same. There's a lot of good fishing down there in the Atlantic, though, off the west-east side.
Lobster season right now.
Yeah, many season.
Everybody left yesterday.
I want to go so bad, man.
Everybody all tore out. They're all in the Keys right now.
Dang it, man.
I don't know anything about that.
Lobster?
That is a whole nother fishing in itself.
That is a whole nother fishing in itself.
You got a
tickle stick.
What?
Yeah, I told you I got a new new trap. I don't want to call it a trap. It's a net, like a little cast net, and it's got weights on the bottom, and it holds open, holds itself open. There's this plastic piece in the middle, and what you do is you find one in a hole or two or three, and you put that net over top of the hole. And you give it a few pokes, and when they come out, catches it in the net. How many times? You ever been down there doing that before?
Oh, gosh, yes.
You know, when you give it a poke, and it goes through your arm, you're like, son of, you know.
Yeah.
They're fast.
Yes, they are.
I got their number this time.
That's my girl.
That's right. We got
to
go.
Do you have to get in the water?
Yeah, it's snorkeling. You're snorkeling.
Or diving.
Well, that's what we did.
Because you're on the flats. Yeah.
It's right on the beach, basically.
Are there lobster up here in the Port Charlotte area?
Mm-mm.
No.
They're reef creatures for the most part. They stay down there on the
reefs. We do catch a few here and there, but...
Like Mary's Reef?
Babies.
Like, no?
No.
Well, you...
Well, I've had guys tell me they caught them out in, like, stone crab traps. They've caught them out there before. I think that they're here. They're just not as abundant, I would say.
Yeah.
Do you know how long the season is for the...
Right now it's mini season, yeah.
It's 3 days.
What?
They call it mini season.
It's mini season right now.
It's the season before they open the season.
Oh, okay.
They give you 3 days to go.
Get some practice.
Practice up for the long week.
Mm-hmm. Fun week.
It's like scalloping.
Oh, it's so fun. Yeah. It's fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's gotten different. Dangerous down there.
It is.
The last couple of years.
There's a ton of people down there.
Ton of people. We used to do it all the time when I was a kid. Yeah. Every year. We were down there several times a year lobstering, but it got to the point that, again, etiquette. You know, a lot of it is etiquette, and a lot of it was just people that just, they go down there in these great big huge boats and have no idea what they're doing, and you can put a dive flag out and they'll run right the hell over top of you. It can be very dangerous. You have to be on the top of your game, but it can be a lot of fun as long as you're very safe about it.
Yeah, I agree. It's tons of fun. I love it.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. The barracuda down there. I mean, you just see so much stuff down there that can wig you out, but it's so freaking cool.
I thought one of you had a fear of getting in the water like I did.
That was Robert.
No, that's me.
Yeah, but you would get in the water down.
Well, it's snorkeling, but half your body's out of the water. It's just really your
face.
And
it's so clear down there.
And it's crystal clear. You can see everything. Yeah. That's the other reason.
You can see them coming at you from a
literally.
Mall.
It's like swimming in the bathtub.
But if you see a barracuda,
he's not going to do nothing to you. Barracudas.
I ain't never
nuts.
Come across that.
Really?
Yeah, you do see a brown trail behind me.
Girl, I'm telling you, they are. You ain't kidding. I had one from me to you down there, laying right next to me. They're not near as I can tell. I mean, I've dove with them for 20 years. They're not aggressive. They're just intimidating.
Yeah, they're.
They the just because them sugar. Right, and so they breathe with their mouth. They don't breathe out of their gills like a norm. So their mouth is constantly
opening.
Right, and they'll sit there and they'll sit right next to you with that mouth open and close, open and close, and you're like, holy.
Like, what's that warm spot? You know what that warm spot is.
So as long as you don't fit or you don't go down there, you don't dive, you don't snorkel, nothing with any sort of jewelry on, nothing
flashy.
Yeah,
they like the sparkly stuff.
That they will get you. If you have a necklace on and they see a flash, they will come after you, a ring. As long as you take all your stuff off, you're good. They're not going to be aggressive.
Yeah.
But they will scare the fire out of you. I had that one that was just, I'm telling you, it was 2 yards, you know, next to me, and I'm laying flat on the grass flat. I'm diving, and he's just laying parallel with me, just like we were buddies. Mm. And I didn't see him, but when I turned over there and saw him, my ass was headed for the boat.
I guarantee
that was the end of my trip right there.
It.
I think I left all my lobster, my bag, everything. I left it all down there. He can have it. I was out.
Shit, that ain't bad. I'm not cool with that. I'm not down with that.
But I have had we had one dive where I stayed on the boat, everybody else went down, and then the barracuda were actually circling the boat. Now that one wigged me out a lot. They
I've had shark do that.
Circle the
I've
boat.
Had sandbar sharks do that to me, lemon sharks. Yeah. Yeah, any shark circling the boat is not good.
There's a lot of nurse sharks in the Keys too, like on the reefs, and they're really cool because they're gentle, right?
Very,
they ain't coming after you, and they're probably not even going to move. But again, the water's so clear, you can be on the boat and see them 20, 30 foot down there, just plain as day, and they're just beautiful. It's really, the Keys is
it's
really
relaxing.
Cool.
It is to me.
It's really
it's like a
awesome.
Different world.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So,
yeah. But to everybody's down there, I don't know if y'all have seen it,
yeah,
but my Snapchat is full of Keysbound.
Yeah.
Hashtag Keysbound.
I mean, it's one place I've never been yet.
The Keys?
And I've lived in Florida 18 years.
What?
I've never been down to the Keys.
Girl, you are missing out.
Need a road trip.
The drive down there? Mm-hmm. Suck. No, we need that Express to Key West trip.
The Express to Key West Express?
Yes, so.
Girl, I'm telling you what. It's like you literally forget about your regular life.
Really do.
It's just you, like you go legit. Into this, you know, you're like, what?
Right, go down there and do like the ball crawl for a weekend. Yeah. And just, it is, yeah, the drive down there is terrible.
That's huge down there.
Let's first go down for fishing and then we'll go back for Fantasy Fest.
Okay. I've not been down there for Fantasy Fest.
I've been down there.
I've seen the pictures and I don't.
It is like, it makes Mardi Gras look like kindergarten.
Yeah, I don't think I'm that cool. I think I just need to stay in town.
I'm not that cool.
I'm not that cool.
I got bail money.
We might need that.
Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Fishy Radio. Hope you learned something. I definitely learned something. Girls, say goodbye. We have Jeannie.
Tight lines.
D.
Bye-bye.
And Heather.
Bye, girls.
And I'm Alex. Good night. Bye.
Yeah, I know she loves to fish. Oh, 'cause I do too, baby.